We're going to have a Bible reading now, and David's going to come and read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. So it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 19.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart.
Thank you very much, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of that portion of Scripture to our hearts. There's one verse just a little further over in Luke's Gospel that I want to tie in with that portion, and also that hymn that we were singing there just a moment ago as well, that hymn, Jesus my Saviour to Bethlehem came. There's some words over in Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 10. Just one verse there. It's to do with the occasion when the Lord Jesus met Zacchaeus, but in the course of that incident, when he met that man Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was the man who climbed up into the tree because he was short of stature and he wanted to see the Lord and wasn't able to do so because of the crowd. And in that incident, the Lord Jesus said something about his coming into the world that I want us to ponder for a little moment. It says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That portion that was read to us gives us something of the details of his coming, the circumstances that brought the Lord Jesus into the world. But here, this verse that we want to consider for a few moments today tells us why he came. What was the purpose for his coming into the world? And he says himself, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can we just take a moment and ask the Lord to bless? Let's bow in prayer and look to him for his blessing upon his word as we consider it. Our Father, we thank thee today for the Sabbath school pupils as they have taken part in this service. And we pray that thou will bless that ministry that we have heard. And we pray now that thou will come and speak to our hearts from thy word. Lord, this is the purpose in reading the scriptures and meditating upon them, is that they would speak to us. They are living words. They are the words of God. They are not just the words of some man or woman either who may have spoken these words or somebody who may have written them. But Lord, ultimately they are the words of God. And they are God-breathed. And therefore we are told in the scriptures that they are living words. There is a power in them. And we ask, Lord, that thou would come now and bless thy word to every heart. We pray that each one of us today would know the Lord speaking to us from his word, and there being a word in season to our hearts, as we consider these things. So grant us thy help now, we pray. May we know the ministry of the Holy Ghost, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are many titles that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Many that are connected with his birth and with his coming into the world. In this verse of Scripture, in Luke 19, verse 10, he is called the Son of Man. And that's a reference and a reminder to the fact that he did indeed come into this world. He was the Son of God, but he became the Son of Man. He was always the Son of God. The Bible teaches us that God is eternal, and the Son of God is eternal too, and that is a truth that we cannot comprehend in our mind, because with us everything has to have a beginning. But God is eternal. God has never had a beginning. And that indicates something to us about the greatness of God. But here he's called the Son of Man. A reminder of the fact that he did come into this world, that the Son of God became man and came into this world as a child, as an infant there in Bethlehem all those years ago when he was born of Mary. And there's one other title that's not specifically stated here in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, but it certainly is inferred. And it is the thought of the Lord being the seeking shepherd. Now, that title is certainly given to him elsewhere in the Scriptures. For example, in Psalm 80 and verse 1, where he's called there as the Shepherd of Israel. The Shepherd of Israel. And there's reference here, although the name is not specifically stated in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's an indirect reference here to the fact that this is one of the titles that was given to the Lord when he came into the world, that he would be the Shepherd of Israel. Now, we know something of the work of the shepherd. The Bible teaches us that. We can observe it too. And those who look after sheep, and if we learn anything about a shepherd in the land of Israel, slightly different to here and how people look after sheep. But in the land of Israel, the shepherd would lead the sheep out from the sheepfold in the morning. He would lead them out to find some place to graze. Sheep love fresh grass. They don't like to be on grass that they've walked over many, many times, and there's a desire in sheep to find fresh grazing, and that's the work of the shepherd. He would lead them out to find the great pastures, and there the sheep would graze for the day. He would take them down to the place of watering as well, because they need to drink as well. And again, the shepherd would lead them to that place. A little different to how we do it here, because we would drive sheep, whether in a bygone day with sheepdogs or maybe more modern methods now with a quad or whatever. But we would drive sheep. But in Bible times, the shepherd led his sheep. He would walk out before them, and the flocks would be much smaller than they might be today. And he would call his sheep, and they would recognize the voice of the shepherd, and they would begin to follow him. And he would lead them then wherever he wanted them to go, whether it was to the pasture to graze, whether it was to the water or to drink. And then, and when they're out there on the hills or whatever, he would seek to protect them. Because in Bible lands, the wild beast was very prevalent. And David, who is mentioned in the Scriptures as the shepherd, tells us about the times when the lion and the bear would come to attack some of the sheep, and he would seek to defend them and drive away the lion and the bear with his stone and with his sling in order to protect the sheep, because he was going to be a faithful shepherd. And then in the evening time, he would lead the sheep, the shepherd would lead the sheep back down from the hillside, down to the sheepfold where they would spend the night, because they certainly wouldn't spend the night out on the hills unless there was a great number of shepherds to protect them and took care of them, as happened when the Lord came into the world. But more often they would be led down to a sheepfold somewhere, maybe even on the side of a hill somewhere. But they'd be brought into somewhere that they would be safe for the night during the hours of darkness, and then they would be led out again in the morning. So the shepherd had many, many responsibilities. But there's one other responsibility that we haven't mentioned that is here brought before us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It is the shepherd going out to seek the lost sheep. You see, the Savior here says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here's the reference to that fifth responsibility that the shepherd has. He seeks after the lost sheep. Because as he's leading them either out to the pasture at the beginning of the day or on to the place of watering or even down to the sheepfold again at night or even when they're grazing, there's a sheep that can wander away. There's a sheep that can get lost. There's a sheep that gets separated from the rest of the flock. And when the shepherd brings the sheep all back to the sheepfold and there's that narrow little opening and the sheep go in and he's counting them in one by one, as we know in the parable of the lost sheep, he counts them all in, 98, 99, and he was expecting a 100th one and there wasn't a 100th sheep there because it was lost. So he counts his sheep in, but there's one of them that's lost. Well, what does he do? Well, in the parable of the lost sheep, we're told that the shepherd leaves the others in the safety of the sheepfold and he goes out upon the mountain to look for the lost sheep. He's not going to leave it because he knows it's in danger. The wild beast is out there and ready to devour it. And if he doesn't find it first before the wild beast, well, it's going to be devoured. So he leaves the others in the safety of the sheepfold and out he goes, no matter what the weather is, no matter how dark it might be, out he goes to find the sheep that is lost. And as he goes, he's looking for, he's listening for the sheep, a faint bleat that will tell him where that lost sheep is to be found. And it is the work of the shepherd to go and search for the lost sheep. And that's what the Lord Jesus here is referring to in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And he's thinking about it in the context of Zacchaeus, because the Lord Jesus came seeking this man. As I've mentioned, he's the man that climbed up into the tree to see the Lord. And the Lord was passing by, and the Lord came to where he was and stood at the bottom of the tree and looked up into the tree and spoke to him. And there the Lord Jesus was like the shepherd seeking the lost sheep, because here is the purpose of his coming. And while Luke's Gospel chapter 2 there gives us the circumstances by which he came and tells us how he was born as a babe into Bethlehem, how he was born and laid in the manger, that there was no room for him nor his mother nor Joseph in the inn, tells us how the shepherds there came to meet him and worship him and praise what had taken place. That gives us all of the circumstances that surround his coming. But here in Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 10, we discover here the purpose of his coming. Here's why he came into the world. He came to be the seeking shepherd. And I want to draw your attention this morning just to a few things out of this verse of scripture that I trust the Lord will bless to our hearts. The first thing I want you to notice is what it is to be lost. You see, if there's a seeking shepherd, and the Lord says here he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what do we mean by that? What does the Bible mean by that? What are we to understand by that term as it appears in the Word of God? Why would the Lord Jesus have to come seeking us? Why would he have to be born into the world in the circumstances as he was? What does it mean to be lost? Well, to be lost is a reference to our spiritual state before God. There's many terms that can be used to describe us, maybe to describe our physical state, whether it relates to gender or to nationality or to colour or ethnic origin or whatever. There's a whole host of different terms that can be used to describe us in our physical state as we are here in this world. Well, there's terms as well that God employs in his word to speak about us in our spiritual state. Because not only do we have a physical state in this world, but there's also a spiritual state. How do we stand spiritually? And this is one of the words that the Bible uses to describe our spiritual state. We are those who are lost. And what does God mean by that? Well, he simply means that we are not where we ought to be. If you think about the sheep that's lost in the physical sense, it's not where it ought to be. It's not with the flock. It's not in the safety of the sheepfold. It's somewhere else. It's out in the mountains, lost somewhere, out in the hills, caught in the thorns or briars or fallen into some pit or other. The sheep is not where it ought to be. And so it is in the spiritual sense. When the Bible uses this term to say that we are lost, it's referring to the fact that we are not where we ought to be before God. That whatever else can be said about us regarding our physical circumstances in this world, our social circumstances, well, here's what the Bible has to say about us spiritually, that we are not where we ought to be with God. We are not among the people of God. We are not in the family of God. We are those that have gone astray. We are out of the place where we ought to be. We ought to be those who know God. We ought to be those who love God and who serve God. But the opposite is the case. We live without him. We live with little interest, little thought about him. And if you turn back there to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, where you have the account of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and then you have the account of the lost son, that's mentioned there as well. In Luke 15, verse 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to make merry. And then verse 32, the thought is repeated down at the very end of the chapter. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So here's a father using this terminology about his son. And what happened? That son left home and went away into the far country. He said to his father, "I don't want no longer to be in your house. I don't want no longer to be a servant in this house and to labour in this house. I want you to give what's coming to me, and I want to go out to do my own thing." And off he went to the far country. And he spent all that he had on riotous living, the Bible teaches. But then he comes back. He came back a lot poorer. He came back a lot more humble as well to his father's house. But he came back, and his father rejoiced in that. And they had a great celebration about this son who came back. And that's how the father described it. "My son was lost and is found." And there he's referring to the fact that his son was not where he ought to have been. He wasn't in the father's house. He was away in the far country, far away from the father's house. Well, that's the sense in which the Lord uses this term as well then. When in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he says, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to find those who are far away from God, who are not where they ought to be." You see, that's the state of us all before God. It's said here with regards to Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus is just a representation of us all. He was certainly a lost soul and needed to be found. But so is every one of us. We're lost souls by nature. That's how it is with us before God. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl and young person, we are all lost souls before God. And we need to be found. And you know, we cannot find our way back either. There's something in sheep that they can't find their way back. There's other animals that have an instinct to get home. You read some of those stories at times about a dog or whatever, able to find its way home. Maybe left miles away from home, but able to find its way home. And it's just got that ability, that instinct given to it by God ultimately. But you know, a sheep doesn't have that instinct. A sheep can't find its way home. There's something in sheep that when they get out of where they ought to be and start to wander, they just cannot find their way home. They just keep going on and on. They just keep wandering. And the Lord tells us that we are like lost sheep. Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And it's not within our ability to find the way back. But then that's why the Lord Jesus came to this earth. That's why he was born as a babe in Bethlehem and came into this world. You know that word lost? It has the sense of perishing. In fact, that's the majority of ways it is found in the New Testament. It's the word perishing. There's a statement in chapter 13 there of Luke's Gospel, and verse 3 and 5, where the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And that word perish is the word lost as well. And we could even read it like that, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise be lost." Because there's a thought, you see, of perishing. And that's true of the sheep that's lost out on the mountain. If the shepherd doesn't find it, it's going to perish. It's going to perish because of the cold. It's going to perish maybe because of disease. It's going to perish because of the wild beast. But it's going to perish. So when God's word uses this term of us, that we are lost, it's referring to our spiritual state before God. And if this was not our spiritual state, men and women, Jesus Christ did not need to come to the world. It's as simple as that. God did not need to send his son if this is not the case. If we are not lost souls, cannot find our way home to heaven. If we are not those, then why did God send his son into the world? It's because we are indeed lost souls and that we cannot find our way to heaven that he has sent his dear son into the world. So we've thought there about what it is to be lost. I want you also in the second place to think about his coming. Because he says here in this text in Luke 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come." He has come. You see, the Lord has come with a purpose. And we know the reality of his coming. The Son of Man did come into the world. the good shepherd is the one who has come from heaven. And I mentioned that term that appears over in the Psalm 80 verse 1, where it speaks about the shepherd of Israel. Well, in that same verse, Psalm 80 verse 1, it says that the shepherd of Israel was the one that dwelleth between the cherubims. Now, if we explain that for a little moment, if we're familiar with the tabernacle, that system of worship in Old Testament times, and then the temple as well, that was found in Jerusalem, and how the Jews worshipped. And I'm sure most of us have heard about the Ark of the Covenant. Well, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, on the two ends of it, were cherubims. They were representation of angels. And they were made as part of the Ark of the Covenant. But then the presence of God was on that Ark of the Covenant. And that's what that psalm is referring to when it says about the shepherd of Israel, thou that dwellest between the cherubims. It's telling us, you see, that the shepherd of Israel is God. Long before Jesus Christ ever came into the world, the Old Testament was telling us who this individual was that would come. He would be God who would come. He would be the Son of God who would come into this world. But it was to be no surprise that when Jesus Christ came into this world, that he would claim to be God. That's what is promised in regards to him. And sometimes we think about that name Emmanuel, which means God with us, that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says here, for the Son of Man is come, we're thinking here about the Son of God coming into the world, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man. This good shepherd is none other than God himself that has come down into this world. Not only the reality of his coming, but the manner of his coming. I am come, he says. He came in his Father's name. He came to do something. In John 5:43, that's what he said. I am come in my Father's name. In other words, he was sent by his Father into this world. He was sent with the authority of his Father. And therefore, we ought to listen to him and to obey him. He came to his own. He was born of Jewish parents. That teaches us that. He was born a Jew. He is called the Shepherd of Israel. And therefore it is no surprise that he was born of Jewish parents. He was born into the royal tribe of the Jews. The Sabbath school pupils were singing there about the one who was born to be king. Well, he was born of the royal tribe. He was born of the tribe of Judah. That was the kingly tribe. That was the tribe from which the kings were to come. King David and Solomon, those kings in Israel, they came of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ came of the tribe of Judah. Because he's to be a king. He's to be king of our lives. But he was born a babe. He did not appear as a fully grown man in this world. Rather, he was born as a child. Born miraculously by virtue of a virgin birth. And that was to safeguard him from sinlessness. But born as a child. And as that Bible reading there told us in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. He was born a Saviour. His coming was remarkable. The angels announced his coming. The angels appeared to the shepherds on the hillside and announced the coming of Jesus Christ. Why not when it is somebody so remarkable? Somebody so remarkable as this. When God would send his own Son into this world, why would the angels not come and sing his praises and announce it to the world that God indeed has sent his Son into this world? I am come, he says. You can think about the time of his coming. He came at the time when he was promised. He promised to come when things were at a low ebb. And that's how it was in Israel. Things were at a low ebb in Israel. There was the promise that the scepter would not depart out of Judah. And we know that within a generation, the Romans were going to do that very thing and take away from Israel any semblance of nationhood and destroy the kingdom altogether. And that was going to happen within just a generation from the time when the Saviour was here on earth. The Lord Jesus came right at the very end of that time, when things indeed were at a low ebb. He came as he was promised. But he came. He most certainly came. And today we thank the Lord for his coming into the world. He says, I am come. The Son of Man is come. And he has come with a purpose. And certainly while we remember the circumstances that brought him here and how he came into the world, but let us also remember why he came from heaven with a purpose. And that brings us to the last thing I want us to think about here, and that is this shepherd seeking and saving lost souls. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So he seeks and he saves. And as I say, there's the picture of the shepherd leaving sheep in the sheepfold and going out onto the mountain to search for the sheep that's lost. He's going to search, if it means all night, he's going to seek And he's going to search until he finds it. He's not going to leave it. He's going to think about where it will be, where it might be, where he had the other sheep during the course of the day. And he would go back retracing that path, seeking to find that sheep that was lost, that had wandered away. And the shepherd would seek until he finds that sheep. And finding that sheep, then he'll bring that sheep home, back to the sheepfold. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus says that he has come to do. He has come to seek and to save. That means he actively seeks after souls. Just the same way as the shepherd would actively go out upon the mountain and the hillside looking for the lost sheep, so the Lord Jesus actively comes seeking for lost sheep. He comes to seek. He comes to search them out. He comes to where they are. Just as he found Zacchaeus up the tree. I'm sure Zacchaeus maybe was trying to hide a little in the tree as well. As much as wanting to see the Lord, he thought maybe he was concealed and that nobody would notice him too much as he was up there in the tree. All he wanted was just a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. He had heard so much about this individual, but had never met him, never seen him. But the Lord Jesus sought him out. The Lord Jesus came to the foot of the tree, and he looked up into the tree and spoke to him, said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must abide at thy house." He came seeking an individual soul. And you know, men and women, the Lord Jesus comes seeking us as individuals. Yes, we can think about it in the general sense of him coming to the world and even seeking individuals in the world. But let's think about it in a very personal sense today. The Lord comes seeking us. He comes seeking us as individuals. He comes seeking our souls because our souls are precious, very precious. And the Lord comes seeking our souls that it might be saved and that our sins might be forgiven and that we might not perish. How does he come seeking? Well, somewhere across our lives, he brings us into contact with the gospel, with the things of God. Somewhere we hear the gospel, we hear of him, we hear about our need of him, we hear how he has died at the cross to save sinners, we hear of what he did in his sufferings. He brings this to us. That's the Lord seeking us out. He brings to us his word. He has given to us his word, the scriptures, the Bible, that we might read of these things and learn of these things and understand why it is he indeed has come. And in doing that, he's seeking our souls. No, he's seeking our souls. Was the Lord not seeking Zacchaeus when he put it into Zacchaeus' mind to come and climb up that tree and get a glimpse of Jesus Christ? Was the Lord not seeking him then? Just as much as he did that day when he stood at the bottom of the tree and looked up into the tree and spoke to him. And when the Lord brings across our path in life the gospel and the news that we need to be saved and that he is the Savior and that he has died at the cross to save us from our sins, that's the Lord seeking our souls. But then the Lord can speak more directly to us, as he did to Zacchaeus. He can speak directly, sometimes through circumstances in life, sometimes through trouble. The Lord can make us to stop and think and ponder. Maybe even through death, the Lord makes us to realize just how close to death we can be. The Lord can speak directly, and he does, and he has. And challenges us about our spiritual state. And you can have somebody who has little interest or little knowledge of the things of God, but suddenly something happens in their life, and they turn to the Lord, and they seek the Lord, and they're saved, and they begin to follow the Lord. How do we explain that? There's no other explanation other than that the Lord sought them out. He stepped across their path and he made them to think and he turned them to himself. That's the Lord seeking out lost souls. And whether it's through his word going forth in various forms, maybe somebody speaking personally to us, or whether we're under the sound of preaching, open air preaching, church preaching, whatever, maybe even looking at a Christian and observing a Christian live, the Lord has many ways of speaking. Many ways of seeking out. But he tells us here, I'm come to seek and to save. This is his work. And when you think about the Lord Jesus and how he sought out individuals, even at his birth, he drew souls to himself. The shepherds came. Those men who were out on the hillside looking after their sheep. The sheep were their livelihoods. But they left them, it tells us. They left their sheep and came down into Bethlehem to find this infant. Even there, the Lord was seeking out lost souls. The wise men, they came from the far country. We were thinking about that on Friday night in the last of the children's meetings for the season, and how the star brought those wise men. The Lord drew them as well. He was seeking those wise men too. So there were Jews that were brought to know the Lord. Then there were Gentiles that were drawn to him as well. He sought out Gentiles too. The Lord is in the business of seeking out lost souls. He's come to seek, but he's come to save as well. He saves lost souls. And when the shepherd would have found that sheep that's lost, maybe in the thorns or in the briars or fallen down into a pit, he would save that sheep. He would deliver it. He would bring it up out of the briars and take away those thorns and briars that had caught its fleece and were holding it fast. Reach down into the pit and hole and bring it up out of there and deliver it. He would save the sheep. Well, the Lord Jesus does the very same for us. He saves our soul. And in doing that, he brings us to know him as Savior, and that our sins are forgiven, and that we are ready for heaven. There's that statement that he made in John chapter 8, verse 32, and with this we'll conclude. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not just that ye shall hear the truth. No, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's when we come to know him as our Savior, we are set free, we're saved from our sins. And that's what the Lord Jesus came into the world to do. And while we think about the circumstances of his coming at this time of the year, let's also think about why he, let's not miss that. Because while the circumstances are important to a degree, they're not all important. What's all important is why he came to be the seeking and the saving Savior, the Shepherd of Israel. And may the Lord find our souls. May we be those who come and who are found of him, even today. That hymn that we were singing there, it says, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name, seeking for me, for me. And that's what the Lord came to do. And may today he search us out and find us and bring us to himself. Whether we're boys and girls, young in life, or whether we're adults, he do that for both, even this very day. May the Lord bless his word.